Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new Comedy at the Carlson cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode, we're very excited. Jim Florentine's here. It's very exciting. Of course, today's episode is brought to you by Sapori Cafe and Catering, which is Rochester's favorite spot for lunch and any of your catering needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Sapori Rochester. Also in these troubled times, of course, you need some beer. Three Heads Brewing are the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. Now, here's your very special host. He's dropping viral loads all over town. It's Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Gee, thanks for that introduction, Ross. Big show today. Very excited to be back with our first guest of this pandemic lockdown. Stand-up comedian, actor, and author Jim Florentine. You can hear his podcast, Everybody is Awful Except You. It's available now on the Barstool Sports Podcast Network. Hey, Jim, thanks for making the time to do this today, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
How's that being home? Is it terrible or is it all right?
I mean, it's like, you know, as a comedian, you're used to being by yourself in a hotel room somewhere stranded. So, you know, with nobody around and nowhere to go because you don't have a rental car and you're stuck in some hotel, some shitty hotel somewhere. But no, yeah, I mean, it is frustrating not getting out and, you know, communicating with people and hanging with people, you know, and yeah, doing stand up.
Is Luke there hanging out with you?
Yeah, I got him, you know, like the same thing, like half the time during a week. So he's with me half the week, which is great. You know, we're hanging out, we're bonding, you know, watching movies, playing basketball and shit. So it's good.
It's good to hear that you're not like not living your life a little bit, you know, going and playing basketball and stuff is cool.
Oh, yeah, we're on the driveway playing basketball, you know, and then we watch movies and, you know, do all the stuff. So we're good, you know. you know, plus I got to do my podcast from my house. I got to do them from my home. I do two a week. And then I also got my radio show on Sirius XM. So that keeps me busy too. So, you know.
Can I compliment your podcast right now? I very much enjoy it.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. It's my favorite part of you. It's just, I mean, that ability you have to make Andy Rooney seem congenial.
Right.
You know, you just, I don't know anybody else who has quite the skill that you do of coming at things from such a brutal, logical perspective. It's very impressive.
I've always been like that for some reason. I'd always just pick apart everything. Maybe that's why I've been single for the last 5 years too. I could just see it from a mile away. I'm like, nah, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like that. And then when someone sends me an email for my podcast about something, I'm like, oh yeah, I can definitely go off on this.
Right.
You know, so for me, I don't know. For me, it's easy to just pick shit apart, which is, I guess, is good for a comic because that's what we do.
Well, I mean, that's what comedy really is just being able to look at the normal situations, being able to pick it apart and analyze it. And you are quite adept at it.
And it's good because I don't have to worry about being on TV and I don't have to worry about being in a comedy club. So I could be as nasty as possible. You don't have to be likable on a podcast.
Right. It's true. And that's the beauty of this podcast. It's cool that it's on Barstool Sports. How did that happen, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I just, my new agent just sent my name over there, and Dave Portnoy was a fan, and we sat and we talked, and he's like, dude, I want your podcast over here. I'm like, all right, no problem. We decided to do two a week, and, you know, hopefully we're going to do some other stuff over there too. Everything's kind of put on hold for now, but I think, you know, I might do some other projects over there too, which would be great.
Yeah,
it's perfect for me, that platform.
1,000% it's perfect for you.
I fit right in
guy.
There.
Huh? Yeah, you're a huge sports guy. Of course you do.
Yeah, even, you know, most of my podcasts even about sports, but it's just, you know, where they don't give a shit. They just, you know, they're balls to the wall with everything.
Right.
They're not afraid of offending, which is great. And I'm like, this is a perfect network for me.
That's pretty cool, though, man, because you get to do the podcast of the stuff that you love doing. You know, Everybody's Awful Except Me. You should, or except for you, sorry. You could listen to it now. It's available wherever podcasts are. But the fact that you have the alternative to be able to do other things with them in the sporting world, and it's probably going to open up a lot of really cool doors and let you do some cool stuff you never thought you'd be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been there since, you know, mid-January. So, and then, you know, everything got shut down, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So, but no, there's endless opportunities there. And it's great working there. I go in to the recording studio and record the podcast in New York City. And, you know, it's great, man.
That's cool that they have an actual setup for you.
Yeah, and it got, you know, they got podcast studios all in their big complex they have. So I just pop in the one, pop out, you know, do a couple of them, and that's it. So that works out well for me.
Well, I got to tell you that your show's great. I love it. And I would love to submit some ideas for you for your next episode.
Of course.
All right. Let's go with comics doing online shows to no audiences from their houses.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to stay away from any coronavirus stuff because I just, you know, everybody's talking about it. I can't pound. You know, my podcast is recorded probably like 10 days before it actually comes out.
Sure.
The schedule I'm on. So I don't know what's going to happen in 10 days. So I tend not to. But this, I mean, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for comics to do, you know, a show with no audience. People aren't that starved for stand-up comedy. There's, you know, you got catalogs of it everywhere.
It's like Netflix didn't disappear.
Yeah, HBO didn't disappear. I can watch, stand-up specials from the 80s on HBO. So, you know, you got the app and all that stuff. So, yeah, no, it's sad.
I'm not going to crap on anybody, but I did see a few Facebook comedy groups. They were doing virtual open mic.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you want to go on, I didn't even like the whole guys are doing this Instagram live shows. Like, what are you doing on the show that it's going to be that interesting? You know what I mean? Like how entertaining is that going to be?
It's so prevalent. It makes me wonder what media is going to look like in 20 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one good thing is you could pretty much do stuff from your house, so you won't have to travel. That helps people, you know, that helps people stuck in traffic and the commutes in the morning, all the craziness where you can actually do stuff from your house, which is actually good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it's just, you know, you really got to prepare. You just can't, you know, I just can't call up one of my friends and go, hey, let's just do this Instagram live thing for an hour and just talk. I don't know who'd be interested in that.
Well, they sit there and like they watch the windows of the people who are watching it, and their content is, oh, look who popped on. It's Sally. Hey, Sally, thanks for joining me. And there's no content. Oh, look, there's Jerry. It's really kind of, it's an odd practice. And it's, I think it kind of feeds into the narcissism of humanity where we all want to be part of like the center of attention of the show. Therefore, I don't think it'll go away ever. Because now that we've like tapped into that vein, it's just going to become part of humanity the same way the iPhone is part of your arm now. It's weird, man.
No, I mean, you got a good point there that, you know, you have to realize when this thing is over, let's say it's 2 months or whatever it is, 6 weeks, say even 2 months, we get back out there. So you were shut down for like, what, 3.5 months or something. No one's going to forget about you. You know what I mean? Like if you were just went off the radar for 3.5 months and just hibernated in your house to get through this thing, you know, no one's going to go, what happened to that person?
You know what I was thinking about today? How much would it suck to be like a lower mid-tier celebrity and die during this? Because then you probably will be forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, there's people, you know, dropping every day. I know when you can't even, you know, have funerals or anything like that, so it can't even be 6 days later at a funeral, all of that. I know it's... It's sad, man. It's, you know, the singer from that band Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah.
He just died. He actually did the sound. He did the music to the original Crank Anchor show.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He's also noted, I didn't realize this until this morning, he did That Thing You Do from that movie. That was like a huge hit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 52 years old. It sucks, man.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, I think that like the people who drop during this, their legacy is going to be, hey, whatever happened to them, and people Googling them, and then just going, oh, Corona.
Well, look at, I mean, you know, the Kobe Bryant thing just happened, you know, what, 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, and that's completely off everybody's radar because of this.
Solid point. I haven't even thought about Kobe. Wow.
Right. So, but no one's talking about it at all. It's such an afterthought. But, you know, getting back to what we're talking about, it doesn't, you know, you can go away for a little while and then come back. Like it's going to be okay. Like, you know, no one's going to miss you if you're not doing an Instagram live show, if you're a comic or doing a, you know, your stand up comedy in front of no audience. Like they're not, No one's salivating at that. And you're not gonna sell more tickets when this thing is over as a comic because you do an Instagram live show twice a week. When you get back out there, your ticket sales aren't going to go up 40%.
Maybe just because people want to get out, the ticket sales at comedy clubs will go up quite a bit. I mean, we're hoping for that at the Carlson, but...
Well, no, yeah, I'm just saying...
As a person, it's not going to make you more famous.
Right. And you're not going to start selling more tickets only because you did the Instagram live shows during this, is what I'm saying. As far as comedy clubs, I don't know, man. I have a theory that it's going to take a long time for people to get back inside, you know, sitting on top of strangers at a comedy club, especially with the summer coming up when people don't want to be inside anyway.
Solid point.
And I think they're going to do some kind of restriction where, you know, if the Carlson holds 300 people, they're only going to let you sell 100 tickets and everyone's have to be spread apart.
They were doing that before the official closures and everything. But right. Let's not talk about that because it'll make Mark cough up blood when he hears this.
Well, I mean, everybody's going to do it. Like every comedy club's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is whatever, you know, pay you got, you're going to have to get less pay because you can only sell a certain amount of tickets and the crowds are going to have to be spread out, which is going to suck for comedians because you really want them tight on top of each other. So this laughter kind of spreads around the room. When they're scattered, it's always like, oh man, who the fuck sat this place? You know, who sat the customers, put them together. But that's something we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I haven't even really thought about the easing back in process yet. You know, it is something to think about. Maybe it makes me feel a little more hopeful about everything, I guess. But
I think people are going to want to go out and be entertained. They're going to be super careful. It's, you know, what's going to happen at concerts, you know, in an arena, 20, you're not getting 20,000 people in mid-June to go see Guns N' Roses in Buffalo. That ain't fucking happening. People are not going to go. Even if there's, you know, the case have gone way down, like I'm not going to be in an arena with 20,000 other people, fucking, you know, crowds and all that shit, fucking right on top of me going to the bathroom and stuff. So everything's going to suffer for a while. I mean, baseball, at least it's outside. I think that will help. Yeah. But even then, I think that if it does come back, they're going to have to do, you know, maybe 10,000 tickets and that's it.
And, you know, separated two seats apart. Kind
at
of
least.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a wild thought, man. That's a wild thought. And you're probably right. There's going to have to be some type of, like I said, easing in period.
And everyone could say, no, go back into the clubs, do whatever, go back to normal. But is the public still going to be scared? You can't force the public to go to a comedy show or go into a rock club, you know, in a small rock club to see a band with 200 people. You know, you can't force them to come out.
I mean, I think about the airline industries after 9/11. It took a while for people to fly again. You know, it just created such a fear in humanity itself.
Well, yeah. I mean, the planes too, like you're going to be in this tube for, you know, to fly from New York to LA 6 hours. And, you know, so I know, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, we can just get to the next phase of people can have there and go back to their jobs, which would be great.
Hey, have you seen this Neighbors app yet?
The Next Door app, is that?
Yeah. Neighbors, I think it's called.
Just where people in the neighborhood bitching about other people.
Or just like trying to report crimes. Have you seen that one?
No, but I do a podcast once in a while on the Next Door people, like the Next Door app or whatever people.
I think this one's different.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
This one is like, yeah, I think like my wife bought one of those Ring video doorbells for the house.
Right.
So, you know, and this is an app that came with it. And it's basically people sharing the footage of people just walking around and like flipping a car door handle or looking at their front porch funny. And then they write like these huge, ridiculous diatribes. This person walked down the street and they looked at the front of my house for a very long time. And like they post the video. It's like maybe they just thought you had nice flowers.
Right. Or something. They were just like staring at something like, oh, wow, I really like the shingles on that house. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to send you a link to this. I think you'd have a field day.
Yeah, that's pretty good because I do a thing about with the Next Door app with, you know, the neighborhood people, the neighborhood watch people, you know.
Yeah, these are kind of like them.
They found out, you know, they found dog shit on the sidewalk and they can't believe who didn't pick it up.
Monsters.
Yeah, I know.
Monsters.
And they take a picture of it usually too and put it in there. Can you believe somebody left this? Like, we believe you. You didn't have to.
Yeah, like, I want to take it with me.
Yeah.
So I got some questions from listeners if you would indulge me.
Sure.
Someone named Dweezil would like to know, in their prime, who wins in a fist fight, Gene Simmons or Ronnie James Dio?
Gene Simmons. I mean, because Gene Simmons is way taller. Gene's like 6'3". Ronnie was like 5'5".
Well, I'll play devil's advocate here. Ronnie seemed tenacious.
He did, but Gene's got the height over him. I don't know.
Like, I mean, if Ronnie came at him right, if Ronnie came at him right, is all I'm saying.
Ronnie was a super thin dude too. He probably weighed like 140 pounds. Gene's 6'3", 210.
6'3", 210.
Something
yeah.
like that.
All right, Dweezil, it's Gene Simmons. Jim won me over on that one.
I don't know. You know, I would hope Ronnie would put up a good fight.
This one came from Dan Borello. He wants to know, what new rock are you listening to now?
There's nothing really that new. There's a band called Dirty Honey. They're out of LA. They're young. They sound like a cross between like Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith.
Interesting.
They're good. I like those guys. They only got about 5 or 6 songs. I think they just got an EP out. They're working on a full length record.
Rolling Sevens.
Yeah. That's one of their songs. Yeah.
Yeah. I just pulled it up over here. I'm gonna check this out. You know, it's weird to me the way music now, everything is coming around. Everything is coming back again. Everybody kind of is like trying to sound like a classic band. Like there's that Greta Van Fleet band who sounds just like Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And you know, I wonder like how much of that is just, I really love that style of music and want to play it like that. Or if it's commercially trying to cash in and just create more of something people love.
Yeah. Well, Greta Van Fleet's a good example. You know, they sell out everywhere they go. They do like 6,000-7,000 tickets and they sell every ticket, which for a band that's 22, 23 years old is great. So yeah
absolutely.
You're getting a lot of bands that are going back to the old school sound, the rock sound, because they see that there's actually a band that could do it, which, you know, it's good for rock music, because, you know, the shitty ones will fall by the wayside, and then the good ones will rise to the top.
Yeah. And it's weird, like every style is coming back too. I'm trying to find my phone. There's a band I just heard somebody send me. They sound like 80s prog rock, and that's like coming back around.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's pretty wild. Yeah.
Huh.
It's pretty weird. I don't know where my phone is, but I'll text you the name of the band if you can.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, it's weird. Next question. This one comes from Vinny. How come Otto was never involved with Crank Yankers?
Otto and George?
Yeah.
Well, because it was more about the prank call, not so much the puppet.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if he was a prank call guy. You know, Otto was a friend of mine, but, you know, he was a ventriloquist with a puppet, but maybe to use the George puppet in Crank Yankers, but that probably would have been too extreme. But I think it's more about a guy that knows how to do a good prank call. And I'm not sure Otto knew how to do them. I don't know. We've never really talked about that. I don't know if he was a big fan of the Jerky Boys or anything like that, or Red Two Bar or whatever, but, I don't know, but yeah, you know, he just had the puppet. He wasn't, you know, yeah, I don't know how to answer that, but.
All right, fair enough.
I think that's why, because he wasn't a prank call guy.
All right, this question came in from Michael, and it is a Crank Yankers question, but it's a different, kind of a different one. I don't know if you have an answer for this either, but do you think the rise of cellular service over the past 20 years has made prank calling harder?
Yeah, but, you know, we're doing Crank Yankers again after 12 years, it's back. And what we're doing, everyone's like, how are you going to do it? Nobody has a home phone anymore. We never really called too many homes. We always called a business, and all businesses still have a phone they pick up.
Solid.
You know, like a restaurant, you know, or, a pet store or something like that. You know, so that's what we're pranking. So you're still going to get people calling. We're not getting people's cell phones.
Can I tell you my favorite one of your calls from the last new season of Crank Yankers?
Yeah.
I enjoyed when you called the bumper sticker place.
Oh yeah, that was just that just aired last night.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, that was kind of a spinoff of I did this. Me and Don James did that Meet the Creep stuff. We did hidden camera comedy. We went into a T-shirt shop in New York City, and we were asking the guy behind the counter, "Can you make up a T-shirt that says all guys that work in T-shirt shops are douchebags?" You know, and right in front of the guy. So it's a similar idea to that.
All right. Next question came in from Carl. You know Carl. He wants to know how many people on the streets stop you and recognize you only from being on WATP.
Well, a lot. I mean, I've gotten great feedback from that. But they never saw me on that. They might have heard my voice go, "Hey, were you that guy that was making fun of that camping?" I think we did a camping or a camping podcast. I love listening to that show. It's great. You know, anyone that just rips apart things, you know, including myself, I tend to gravitate towards that.
I feel like that's why you two kind of get along there, is because you're both insanely logical. Like, everything gets back to being like, what is the point of this? And like, you laser beam in on it, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is, because he picks up stuff, Carl. You know, he'll just pick up. Like, why would he just say that? He says this like 17 times in the last 3 minutes. He picks apart everything, which is great. It probably doesn't help with his relationship with his wife. I'm sure she's disgusted with him, but it's great for comedy and it's great for the podcast.
I'm pretty sure she is too. I got to tell you, man, it's nice to talk to you. How is the Creeps with Kids tour doing? How is that going? I know everything's on hold right now, but it seemed like it was a pretty awesome tour.
It was doing great, man. We just, you know, we were supposed to be in like Tampa and Atlanta this weekend. We were doing the Moon Tower Festival at the end of April in Austin. You know, all this stuff got put off. It was going great. I know we're coming up to the casino right in Niagara Falls, like in the fall with the show.
Nice. Because did you guys just do like Turning Stone or something like that?
Yeah, we did. That was our last show we did, the last, you know, show. And that was the last show that Casino did too.
Okay.
We did it up in Verona, New York. It's great touring with your friends, you know, and just having fun out there. And they're a great crowd. There's no check spot in like a comedy club and no waitresses walking around yelling, "Do you want drink orders?" And no one's eating, you know, in a theater. It's just, you know, they see comedy, which is great.
I always hear the story about casinos, how they never want you to go over. Is that, do they give you that requirement when you guys play them, or they just like do whatever you want to do?
We haven't done too many casinos, but yeah, the ones that we have, they, you know, pretty much want to know the strict time limit because they want people back out there gambling, which is great. Because, you know, a lot of times the casino crowds aren't the greatest crowds because they let people in with free tickets. High rollers.
Your crowd though, they're showing up and they're going to be awesome.
Well, yeah, the high rollers, you know, that get free tickets for everything because they, you know, they lose all this money. So they sit right in the front and they just stare at you like, who are these people? You know, so, but we haven't done too many casinos, but they've been pretty good so far. But I just know doing casinos in general, it's great that they tell you don't do too much time because you want them back out there losing their money. We're like, good. The less time, the better.
Correct. Awesome, man. Well, I got to tell you, it's a pleasure to hear from you, man. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you have another interview after this.
Yeah, good talking to you too, man. All right, yeah, I'll see you soon.
Don't forget, folks, those of you who are listening to this, to follow Jim on Twitter, at Mr. Jim Florentine, and on Instagram, Jim Florentine. And while you're at it, follow us on Instagram and Twitter as well, at CarlsonCast. Don't forget to leave a review and subscribe, tell a friend. We are going to try to bring you new episodes every day next week. That's right, during the weekdays, we are trying to produce an episode a day for you, and we have some cool guests lined up. I can only tell you two of them. We got Jimmy Schubert coming up, and we got Mike Dammer coming up, and there's a big one at the end of next week that you're going to want to keep an eye out for, trust me. So stay tuned. Tell a friend. Tomorrow we're going to be doing This Week in Comedy History with Billy DeTore, so remember, everybody, act right and wash your damn hands.